Today, we are talking about this thought, am I really saved? I want to talk to you about the balance of grace and the law. We've been talking about grace, grace, grace. Last week, we talked about it's all about that grace, no trouble. Come on now. This week, I know, keep your day job, Pastor. This week, we're going to talk about the balance, okay? So what's the balance of grace? We're going to answer that question. We find out last week that the Romans 6:14 says we're not under, look, you're not under the law, but we're under what? Grace. Oh, that was not very convincing. Come on now. We are under
grace.
We're under grace. We're not under the law. It's important that you know that. But what is the purpose of the law? We see in Matthew 5:17 and 18, do not think I came to destroy the law. This is Jesus saying this. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And he says, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And so we understand this. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Why did Jesus come to fulfill the law? Because you and I cannot fulfill the law on our own. We fall short. I don't care how good you are, you can keep 98, 99% of the laws of God, but all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God's standard. So therefore, we can't fulfill the law, but Jesus came to fulfill the law. This is the great news. Jesus came to do what we could not do on our own. And now, when we put our faith in him, we can be fulfilled knowing this, that Jesus has already fulfilled the law on my behalf. Now, as I surrender my life to him, as I put my faith in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, that he was resurrected on the third day, now that fulfillment of the law transforms and transfers to my life and to your life. Look, so what does it apply to my life? So how does the law stay relevant to my life if I am walking under grace? That's a good question. What is the law's role? Number one, the law is a teacher. Come on now. Any teachers in the house, raise your hand. Let me see you. See, you are just like the law. You are just like the law is a teacher. In Galatians 3:24 states it very clearly, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is our teacher. What is it teaching us? The law teaches us God's standard. It teaches us God's standard, and it teaches us I can't live up to God's standard by myself. The only way I can ever reach God's standard is by putting my faith in Jesus, the one who fulfilled the law. And when I put my faith into Jesus, I am now fulfilled the law in my life, and I am now walking with what Jesus has already done by fulfilling the law. The law teaches me that I need Jesus every single day. The law is a schoolmaster. Have you ever had a schoolmaster before? I'm not talking about just a teacher. I'm talking about a schoolmaster. I had a teacher when I was early on, and her favorite word to use in the class was this, Mr. BB. She'd come up, if I was talking, be like, Mr. BB, really loud. Give me a little more volume here, guys. She'd be real loud, she'd be like, Mr. BB. I know you're not, she talked that deep too. Mr. BB. She had about three hairs on her chin. I'm telling you right now, she was a schoolmaster. Mr. BB, I know you're not talking in my classroom. She pounded that ruler on the desk if I wasn't looking. Pah! Mr. BB, I know you're not falling asleep in my classroom. Mr. BB, I know you're not reading that in my classroom. Mr. BB, I know you're not paying attention to my, are you paying attention to my classroom? And she loved to embarrass me. She loved to call me out. She would slap that ruler on the desk, and a few times she would slap it on my head. I'm telling you right now, you kids got to be thankful today you didn't live when we did. You never knew. Just saying. Some of you are like, oh, yeah. Teachers got by with a lot more back then. I'm just telling you. She liked to embarrass me a lot. I also had teachers that came along beside me, seeing if I was struggling, and they would kneel down next to my desk, put their arm around my chair, and say, how can I help you grasp this? Where are you stuck at? What do you not understand? And they would talk me through it in a patient way. All right, Mr. Beebe, how can I help you focus in and get your work accomplished? What's going on? And they would sit down, and they would talk with me, and they would show patience with me, and they motivated me to get work done. What do you respond to the best in your life? I really had a hard time with it. One showed patience and gentleness. The other showed fear and embarrassment. Which one do you think motivated me? I mean, I was so scarred. This is a true story. I was so scarred that I had PTSD going back to school when my kids had parent-teacher conferences. I'd walk in the room nervous because it never went good for me, okay? I never had one parent-teacher conference that went good my way. And so I had PTSD, and I'd walk in, and I'd be nervous, and teacher would be talking about my child, and all of a sudden my brain would be like looking around, getting nervous, and then I'd be, next thing I know, everything she's saying sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know, like, wah, 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 wah. And then I'd hear her and say, Mr. Beebe, is there anybody in your family who suffers with ADD? I'm like, listen, lady, I can add, okay? Come on now. Maybe, I don't know. I suffered with that to the day. And, you know, the more I looked around, the person who yelled and embarrassed me and pointed out my mistakes didn't motivate me to learn, didn't motivate me to grow, didn't motivate me to change. But the one who showered me with patience, love, gentleness, that motivated me to change and to grow. The more I see the law, the more I'm not motivated. But the more I see the law, I'm motivated by the grace God has showed me. The more I look at I am not qualified, the more I look at the list of God's laws, the more I know I need the grace of God in my life. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of God. I'm thankful for His mercy in my life. And it motivates me to want to live up to the standard of God the best that I can. Why? Because love motivates. It helps me go. We have to understand this. I remember one year I had just finished high school, and I had one semester of college I just completed. And back then in the state of Oklahoma, once you completed one full semester of college, you could actually go back and substitute in the public school system. And someone told me what they were making. I'm like, that's more than what I'm making right now. That might be a good gig. And so I applied and began to substitute teach. And the first week, they put me in elementary school. And I loved it, man. I was there with all the kids. It was like Billy Madison all over again. I was dodgeball. I was hitting home runs in the play yard. I was high-fiving the kids, Steve. You know what I'm saying? I loved hanging out with the kids. And then the second week, they called me in a panic on a Monday morning. Gene, we've had an emergency. We don't have enough teachers at the high school. I know you've just been out a semester, but do you think you could actually teach and substitute at the high school? And I said to myself, let me think about this for a second. You want me to go back where all my teammates, friends, the girls I've dated, all of them are in that school, and you're going to pay me to go back and to hang out with them? I'm in, baby. I'll be right there. And I walk in downstairs into the office to check in, and every head in the office turned around. Every principal came out of their office. Every counselor was like, oh my God, the school is going to hell today. They were like, we have really hit rock bottom here, you know. Home, how desperate do we gotta be? I'm like, I got this. And I remember I waited until the bell rung to make my appearance into the classroom. And I grabbed my dad's briefcase. I loaded it up with all the Sports Illustrated I had and newspaper and put it in there. And I waited until the bell rung, and I walked in carrying my briefcase to the classroom, swung open the door, walked in, put my briefcase down on the desk, and I walked to the board. Back before they had smart boards, you had to actually use chalk. So I grabbed the chalk and wrote as big as I could with my back to the class. I said, hello, class. My name is Mr. Beebe, and underlined it. I turned around, and their eyes were like this, like, it was like shock at first, and they're like, oh, yeah, they start high-fiving. I'm like, keep it down, keep it down. They're like, this is going to be so great. This is going to be the party class. We're going to have fun. And I told them, listen, just keep it down. Don't run this gig for me, okay? Don't get me in trouble, because I want to come hang out with you guys. So here's your homework. Just get it done. And once you're done, I don't care if you talk to your friends, whatever you want to do, but just complete your work first, and then you can talk and have fun. Just keep it down. Don't get me in trouble. Passed them out. Got it done. About a week went by, and they called me down to the office. I said, Gene, we need to talk to you about something. And so PD, you know, PTSD stuck in again. Like, what did I do wrong? You know, this never turned out good for me as a student when I got called down to the office. And so I showed up down in the office, and they said, we need to ask you something. They said, we've never, ever had a substitute teacher who got 100% of the assignments turned in every class period. 100%. And all the teachers are talking about you, and they're requesting you, and they're fighting over you because they never had a substitute get all the work done. Tell us your secret. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. The more I thought about it, the reason why I was having good success was I didn't walk in trying to dominate them, because I knew there's no way they're going to respect me if I try to come in and be some big domineering figure. But because I came in able to relate to them, they respected me and they did what I asked them, because they knew I was just in their shoes a little over half semester ago, and I didn't come in with this domineering spirit. Therefore, they responded and did their work. Can I tell you today, the law is a overbearing school domineering figure that will tell you authority, you're missing it, you're missing it, you're missing it, you're falling short, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you don't follow the rules right. But we have been given an advocate. Come on now. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says he understands. He's walked in our shoes. He understands every temptation we've had. He didn't sin, but he understands the temptation. And so when we go to the Father, we have an advocate who says, Dad, I've walked in their shoes. Dad, I understand rejection. Dad, I understand pain. Dad, I understand what they're going through. Dad, I understand a hard day's work. Dad, I understand when mom's mad at you. Dad, I understand what it is to have family problems. Dad. And so we have an advocate who relates to us. We have an advocate who's not coming to bring dominion, but he's coming to give you dominion. He's come to give you grace. He's come to give you the law so that you can measure yourself and see where you're growing in your life. The law is a mirror. James 1:23 says it like this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The law reflects the standard of God. The law reminds me I can't meet that standard. The law reminds me I need the grace of God applied to my life every single day. The law sets healthy boundaries in my life for my protection. It's there that I need the healthy boundaries. Romans 7:7, what shall we say? Is the law a sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. I wouldn't know not to covet unless the law said, ye shall not covet. So we understand this, that the law shows me God's standard. The law shows me that God has a better way. Look at this statement. The law reflects the parameters of God, the desires of God, but does not reflect the parameters of his love. Do you get that? The law doesn't reflect the parameters of his love, but it reflects the boundaries he wants to set in our life and show us that there's a different way. If you have teenagers, you can understand this. Any parents of teenagers, raise your hand. Say, God, I need you today. Amen. Come on now. I know that. I've raised five of them. If you have teenagers, we understand this. We have to set boundaries in their life. I'm not called to be their best friend when they're a teenager. I'm called to set healthy boundaries in their life. They will be mad at me. They will be upset at me. They will tell me I'm the only parent who's not cool. They will tell me I'm the only parent who's doing it the wrong way. But I don't care, because if I set healthy boundaries now, when they grow into young adults, they'll look back and say, thank you for protecting me. Thank you for showing me the way. And now we have a healthy relationship as they get young adults. Now that's spinning around into a healthy relationship. But it wasn't always that way when they're teenagers, because I had to set healthy boundaries to protect them. I set boundaries in their life, like nothing good happens past midnight. Be home. You're either home or you're at somebody else's home that I trust, but not going to be running the streets around. Get home, okay? This is what time you got to be home on a school night. This is what time you got to be home on the weekend. Summer, we had boundaries. We had things like, you know what? Is there going to be parental supervision? Let me confirm. If there wasn't going to be parental supervision at that house, I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't care who's going there. You're not going to be there. Because I understand something. You get that many teenagers together without parental supervision, the chances are something bad's going to happen. It's just going to happen. How many are glad they didn't have GPS when you was a kid? Come on now. Yeah, some of you would have been really in trouble. Checking to see where they're at. Checking, why are you always spying on me? Because I want to protect your life. Because I'm accountable for how I set boundaries in your life. I know it's not popular with the kids. I want a girl. You'll have plenty of time. I promise you. Adulting's not that fun. I'm telling you right now. Enjoy the free rent while you can get it. Right, kids? Right. My kids want to go back to those days. No members of the opposite sex in a room with the door closed. The door stays open. Why? You're so mean. Because I know about hormones. How do you think you got here? Well, I trust my kid. Well, you're dumb. I'm just telling you. What I'm saying is, we all know that it's hard enough nowadays, more or less when you're a teenager. We don't let them go into rooms by themselves with the doors closed. It's just a boundary. Why? It's a healthy boundary to protect them. I don't do this because I'm trying to be the law and mean. I do this because I'm trying to protect their life. Many of the laws in Scripture you read, say, Pastor, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, for instance, why did God tell them not to eat meat like this or not to eat pork? And why do we do it today if it's not against God's will? Well, understand, God was trying to protect them. Back then, they didn't have the modern science we have now. We understand now that you got to store food at a certain temperature or it will get worms. It will get infected. It will get bacteria, and it will make you sick. And so to keep people from getting so sick, he's saying, this is how you handle all this. You wash it this way. You prepare it here, and you eat it this way. He wasn't trying to set a bunch of boundaries to be just giving them rules. He was trying to keep them from getting sick all the time. He was trying to keep them from getting food poisoning. He was setting healthy boundaries in their life. We got to understand why boundaries are there. Listen, there may be hard consequences to the boundaries, right? If I break the boundaries, listen, when your kids break your laws and your boundaries, my kids broke them. Did your kids break them? Yeah. You broke them too. Don't act all innocent now. Come on, teenagers. If you need to know anything, come and ask me. I'll tell you all about your kids, about your parents. Listen, when they break our boundaries, do I stop my love? No. I know as teenagers, they're going to break boundaries. I know they're going to push boundaries as strong as they can. That's what they do as they're learning their way. I don't stop my love for them. I don't stop my boundaries, but I don't stop my love because they break the boundaries I've set for them. There may be hard consequences. They may lose their phone. They may lose their PlayStation. They may be grounded for a couple of weekends. They may have to stay home when everybody else is going out. They may have consequences, but they don't change my love for them. See, if I don't follow God's boundaries in my life, there's hard consequences that may follow. It can cost me my marriage. It can cost me my children. It can cost me my job. It can cost me my integrity. It can cost me my health. It can cost me a lot of things in my life that I don't like. It can cost me a lot of pain if I don't follow the boundaries of God. But when I break the boundaries of God, doesn't mean I've broken his love in my life, is what I want you to understand. God's love and grace is there. The boundaries are there to show me a mirror that I need God in my life. And the law is a GPS. Psalms 119, 105. What? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The law shows me the direction God wants me to head. The word of the Lord is there. The law is there to what? It's a GPS. It shows me. My GPS tells me when I'm going the wrong way. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Make a U-turn. Go here, go right, go left. You know what I really like about GPS is when it tells me of a delay ahead. When there's a wreck ahead, and they say, we're going to divert you around the wreck. It's a little bit longer. It's going to add a little bit more time to your travel. But in the long run, it's going to save you a lot of time waiting on the highway. And so I don't like taking a different route, but I know if I'll take that route, even if I have to slow down a lot, it's still better than being stuck out here in the wreck. And see, if I follow the law of God in my life, it can save me from the wrecks ahead in my life. It can save me from getting stuck and wasting years of my life because I made some really dumb decisions. And so it helps me miss those dumb decisions. It helps me avert those things. And then the last thing, the law helps us measure our progress. The law helps me measure our progress. Notice what I said here. The law helps me measure who? Our. Come on, put your hand over your heart and say, our progress. The law is not for you to measure other people's progress. Isn't it amazing that we can all use the law to measure everybody else, but when we look in the mirror, we can't judge ourselves? Listen, the law was not there for you to tear people down. The law is not there for you to judge other people. The law is there for you to look in the mirror and say, I've got to be a man of God, I've got to be a woman of God, and I've got to do better. That's what it's there for. It helps me measure. I had a high school teacher one time gave us a test. It's a pop test. We didn't know about it. And so we took the test, and when we're done, she said, all right, we're going to grade them. And everybody automatically started passing it to our right. Like we'd done before. Your neighbor grades it. And she said, no, 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 no. Everybody's going to grade their own test today. All of a sudden, smiles filled the room. All of a sudden, everybody's like, hey, I'm going to make an A today. One way or another, I'm going to make an A. And my smile quickly, you know me, I was 10 steps ahead of her. I was like, no, no, no. There's a trick to this. This is not a pop quiz. This is a test on ethics. I thought it was a test on ethics. She's going to see who is going to grade their test right. So as she was reading off, if I even got close to missing an answer, I marked it wrong. I'm like, I didn't want to leave any doubt. If I even thought I was close to missing, I would mark it wrong because I thought she was going to grade us on whether or not we were honest about grading ourselves. And when we got done, she goes, all right, put that away. Now turn to chapter whatever. We're like, hey, wait, time out. Do you want us to pass our papers in? She goes, no, the test wasn't for me. The test was for you to measure yourself and know where you're at. So as we get ready for the upcoming test, you know how good you're doing. You know where you need to study. You know what you need to improve on. The test was for you. It wasn't for me. See, when the law is there, it's to test us. And what should happen is this. The more I look in the mirror, I should be able to say, you know what? I'm doing a little bit better. I'm getting a little bit better grade every time I get graded. Every time I grade myself, I can say, all right, I'm struggling here. I need to improve here. But you know what? Here's some areas I've grown in this last semester. Here's some areas I'm doing a little bit better. And I should be using the law as a measuring place for me to grow. I can't use grace as an excuse just to live how I want to. But no. Grace covers me. It fulfills the law in my life. But it also propels me to say, God, your standard is higher than my ways. God, I'm going to live my life trying to do my best to reflect your standard in my life. It's raising the standard in my life. Today, as we get ready to close, I don't know if any of you guys knew this or not, but there's been a test given all week. We've actually been able to satellite track you guys all week. So I'm like, don't put it past Pastor Gene. He may have actually had that happen. And the test results are in, so I need everybody in this right two sections right here. Can you stand up right here? And in the back, can you guys stand up with them and join them? Everybody in this section, you guys, I know you didn't know there was going to be a test this week, but there was. I know you didn't study. Some of you blew off the test. You didn't do great. And your results are in, and you guys made an average of 60% on your test. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, at least we passed. That's a D minus. But according to God, that's an F. Now, the ones in the middle, you guys stand up. Stay standing right there. Stand up as well. Everybody in the middle section today, we got your grades in for this week. And some of you actually did study. Some of you actually did a little bit better. And you brought the average up a little bit. And your test score average was an 81%. Yeah, come on, give yourself a hand. You guys made a B minus. One thing bad. A B minus is an F. If you even have one wrong answer on your test, it's an F according to God's standard. The law teaches me this. So you may have done great. Now this section, stand up over here. Both sections right here. You guys were lucky because you had some people and some teachers who liked to study. You had some 4.0 students working with you and studying with you. Worked really hard. You're lucky Tim Scott was here. He really brought your average up. I didn't tell him, Tim. They did that. And you guys made a whopping 98% this year. Come on, yeah, give us a great thing. Yeah. One problem. A 98% according to God's scale is a F. Why? Because I cannot ace this test. I cannot ace the standard of God. That's why he sent his son, Jesus, to be born of the virgin, to walk in our shoes. He took the test for us, and he passed with an A+. Look at Jesus' score, an A+. What's that mean? Come on, this is exciting news. I want you to get this. What does that mean? Because Jesus made an A+. All who put their faith in the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, all who believe and put your faith in him, now the Father grades you and I on a curve. And he gives me an A plus. He gives me an A plus. And he gives me an A plus, not because I deserve it, because he's looking at me through his son, Jesus, who fulfilled the law, who passed the test for us. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. This is an amazing thing today. If you hear it, Pastor, I've been really struggling, not feeling like I'm good enough. When I measure myself against the law, it gets me feeling unworthy. If I can be honest, I've been struggling this week, and this message is really exactly what I need to hear. Anybody want to raise your hand and admit that? Yeah, come on now. Yeah, lots of hands. The first service was full of people as well. I want you to leave your hands raised. Say, I want you to be free. I'm going to pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray and thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is here to reassure us that, God, we belong to you. That the grace of God covers me even on my worst of days. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to take the test for us. That now as I put my faith in him, if you haven't done that, do it right now. Say, God, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for my sins, and he was resurrected on the third day. The Bible says that's how I walk in amazing grace, is by putting my faith in Jesus and the finished work of the cross and resurrection. So right now, I pray that God is taking you free from that guilt in Jesus' name. Free from the law of guilt that comes and shame that comes with that. And today, I want you to walk in the freedom that Jesus took and passed the test for you and I. Come on, let's praise him.